gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Jam-packed celebrity hotline, as usual. General Anthony Zinni on the celebrity hotline this hour. Representative John Sarbanes, Democrat of the great state of Maryland, and Democrat Elliot Engel of the great state of New York in hour number three. All to update us on health care, cash for clunkers, and
whatever.
And the Flavin. Check calendar section of StephanieMiller.com, won't ya? Parties in Seattle this Saturday. The big town hall coming up Saturday with me, Tom Hartman, Bill Press, Mike Malloy, and Ron Reagan. Find out how to get tickets at the calendar section of StephanieMiller.com. Speaking of which, the party plane has just landed, Jim, with Bill Clinton and the girls.
Yeah.
They're here in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, to be a fly on the wall during that flight.
We're
very happy they're home.
Yes, we are. And
shockingly, the far right is not. They would.
Oh, wait till you hear what they have to say.
of course, they were appeasing communists.
Yeah, I guess.
They should have just died.
Wow-wee. And once again, Hillary Clinton does all the hard work and Big Dog gets the credit. All right, so we will update you on all of that.
Yes, sure, Hillary supporters love hearing that again.
You'll be happy to know, Jim, your former crush, the lying sack of cute, Dana Perino. I think she's really narrowed down the whole situation here with North Korea, and that is, it's all Al Gore's fault. That they were captured in the first place?
Right.
How did they get there in the first place? I think this is a question that hasn't been asked enough.
Yeah.
What were they doing? Whose idea was it to send these young women into North Korea? Mm. I think we need some answers on that.
That's a great question.
And, you know, maybe Al Gore, I don't want to say Al Gore is responsible if he made the order, but ultimately he's responsible, and I think we need to hear a little bit more about that.
Of course he's responsible.
I'm just saying.
He must be.
I'm not saying he is.
I have no information, but he must be responsible. Clearly. It's so obvious.
Wow. Is it me, or did once again Obama pretty much handle this as well as you possibly could?
Everybody, absolutely.
The women are free.
It
may help with the, you know, we have established a better basis, I think, to go forward with talks. Literally, the far right, I'm going, they can't possibly criticize this, like the Somali pirate situation. You're like, it cost the taxpayers one bullet. That's what it cost. And the pirates, how could he handle it any... And once again, he didn't. If George Bush were still president, they'd be dead now.
That's right.
There was no saber rattling and all the usual bluster that we got from the Bush administration. They handled it quietly behind the scenes. They didn't want to screw things up, you know. And
they're home alive.
Thank you.
Kim Jong-il won't be launching any Taipo dogs anytime soon.
Yeah, it's understanding other cultures that he was able to, you know, save face.
Save face,
exactly.
Yes.
And they're just down the street from us right now, as a matter of fact.
Woo!
Yeah.
The party plane is here, everybody. I know. They just landed in Burbank.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We're right here in Burbank.
That's right.
You'd think I would have been first on the scene to ask Al Gore questions about why he was responsible. Mm. He's there.
Nah, you haven't had enough coffee to go down to Burbank Airport yet.
All right, Senator Harry Reid on the wildly popular Cash for Clunkers.
Cash for Clunkers, you will pass Cash for Clunkers.
When will you do that?
Before we leave here.
Woo. Okay, then. Or, if you listen to, if you're in the parallel universe where Sean Hannity lives, then Cash for Clunkers has been, nobody likes it, Jim. It's very wildly unpopular.
We've got literally the majority of Americans oppose Cash for Clunkers, which is out there.
No.
This recession, our tax revenues are down 18% right now, the worst tax decline since World War II. In that sense, how does Obama sell health care in this environment?
Okay, he's complaining that the taxes are too low now. Complaining that...
How does he sell it just after the wildly popular part of the stimulus known as Cash for Clunkers?
Yeah.
How does he then say, by the way, a new poll, Jim, shows that most people are for Obama's health care.
Literally, most people are, what, huh?
What?
Oh, crap.
Oh, darn it. Okay. All right.
Damn it. Actual facts.
Oh,
I hate those.
That wacky Kenyan.
That Obama Kenyan birth certificate is actually a retouched Australian birth certificate.
Austria.
Well, then. Today, mate, let's put another shrimp on the barbie.
Do you come from a land down under?
Phil says, nah.
Russian emigre dentist turned correspondent school lawyer Orly Tink.
Have a look at this little beauty.
The format and fonts on the Australian document are exactly the same as the bogus Kenyan birth certificate bearing Obama's name.
It comes from a land down under.
What's really crazy about this is all the President of the United States has to do is produce a birth certificate.
Maybe the dingo ate your
birth certificate.
What? The dingo ate your
birth certificate?
Maybe Orly Tink comes from a land down under.
You know, is that the best evidence?
To the show.
I was just going to say the best evidence so far that Keith Olbermann loves me and wants to date me and listens every day. That didn't we just? Hal Sparks
just
called
that.
Her Oily Taint on the show.
And actually, I said it first.
Well, okay, but then we continued to call her that, and then last night.
Yes.
Keith Olbermann all night long.
Talk about a land down
Somebody
under.
Somebody listens. Hi, Keith.
Yes.
Okay, let's check some entertainment news, shall we? Here we go.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Oh, I'm going to miss the Tinkster when she disappears. She was so much fun for a while.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. The headline is Arnold Schwarzenegger to return to the big screen in True Lies sequel. Tom Arnold says yes.
However, James Cameron says no.
Tom Arnold, a little chatty, apparently.
Yeah.
you remember the movie with Jamie Lee Curtis, True Lies, 1994. Co-star Tom Arnold spilled that the politician is slated for a sequel. He says once he wraps his role as the governor, he'll return to the big screen in a film helmed by James Cameron. James Cameron says no, Arnold's not in it, or he's not directing it.
James Cameron says in this day and age, there's no way to make Islamic terrorists with nuclear bombs funny.
Mm. So there's no point in doing the bit then. Okay.
All right. Chris, maybe you should have mentioned that later, that there's not going to be a...
Oh, sorry. Well, that's what James Cameron said, so...
Well, I'll go with Tom Arnold for credibility.
Okay.
Here's the governor.
Yeah! I cannot wait to get out of this dead-end job being governor of California with the budget shortfalls and the layoffs and the raising of the taxes and the fees and these kinds of things and the being unresponsive to the needs of the citizens and the falling apart of the infrastructure and the drought and the IOUs and things of this nature. I can finally leave the legacy of being a terrible politician behind and get on with the business of being a terrible actor again like I used to do. It seems appropriate that Jim Cameron be making the sequel to True Lies because he's famous for the Titanic movie with the ship and the iceberg and the naked girl with the boobies and the drowning of the Irish people. Because what I did to California is like the captain of the Titanic did to the boat. Plus, I like the groping of the boobies and the naked chicks and things of this nature. Maria! Kate Winslet isn't even going to be in the movie. I don't think even Jamie Lee Curtis is going to be in the movie. Or is it the drowning of the Irish people you're upset about? Six. Can't live with him. Can't put him on a boat and sink it in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and things of this nature. Mein femur!
Oh, dear. The femur again.
Yeah. How many femurs does he have left?
I don't know. They keep regenerating.
Oh, the steroids. That helps with that.
The myth of titanium.
Okay, and finally the headline is new Sherlock Holmes film to explore homoerotic relationship between lead characters.
Oh, dear.
Guy Ritchie's plan to put a gay spin on the relationship of Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson in his new movie about the detective and his sidekick could backfire, according to a Michael Medved, right-wing tool that I always debate.
Oh, God. Oh, he's a movie reviewer now?
Oh, he has been
he
for
has
years.
Been, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Robert Downey Jr., who plays Holmes, has revealed the crime buster will sleep with and have sweaty grappling scenes with Watson, played by Jude Law, in Sherlock Holmes, due out Christmas Day. But Michael Medved says Downey and Law must be joking. There's not a seething, bubbling hunger to see straight stars impersonating homosexuals.
Huh?
Because, as you know, Brokeback Mountain and all the Tom Hanks films were, huge failures. What? They know that making Holmes and Watson homosexual will take away two-thirds of their box office. It might even risk humanizing the homosexes, as Bill O'Reilly would say. Who is going to want to see Downey Jr. and Jude Law make out? Well, me, I would.
Humanizes homosexuals.
Right, who do we have?
We have Holmes and Watson.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Watson, come here. I want you. Bring a shag with you as well. My dear Holmes, so soon? I just knocked you up an hour ago. No, Watson, not that. The tobacco this time.
root around in the Persian slipper and stuff my calabash. Is that what the bakers treat irregulars are calling it these days? Would you like me to shoot you up as well? No, we'll save that for later, needle. For now, I'll content myself with playing on my fiddle while you watch. Well, Holmes, I must remind you the rent is due soon. I must have resort to my usual necessity of putting the touch on Black Peter. No, Watson, use the copper breeches. The crotchless ones. You remember the ones you wore on your adventure with the Greek interpreter? Yes, quite. I must say, Holmes, that I quite adore being your right-hand man. I've been meaning to mention, Watson, I'd prefer if you used your left hand from now on.
No.
It will seem as if someone else is doing it. My Holmes, how devilishly clever. That will come in handy at the next meeting of the Red-Headed League. Will you come? Yes, but not with you. Watson, I'm leaving you. Leaving me? After all these years, whatever for? It's your unit, Watson. My unit? What's the matter with my unit? It's rudimentary, my dear Watson.
See, elementary, yes.
I understand, yes. That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, follow the roll.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true, for which there's a banner, no, sorry, tile ad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, much different. Completely different.
Yes.
StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. Buy the album.
All right. Can I have some touching reunion music, please? I'm watching. How can you be human and not be moved by the touching reunion going on right now at Burbank Airport? The journalists are back from North Korea, freed by the big dog.
I'm sure Laura Ingraham wishes they would all die. It's a failure.
Once again, things that are good for America, bad apparently for Republicans politically, so they're against that. They would have preferred to see them in prison in North Korea doing hard labor for 12 years.
They're hugging right now.
There's crying and hugging. And so I hate to bring this up, but Screech will not be at the Saved by the Bell reunion.
Oh, no.
Dustin Diamond, who played the lovable but nerdy Screech on the sitcom Saved by the Bell, was not invited to a recent cast reunion photo shoot for the cover of People magazine. A People spokesman said cast members were not comfortable with including him. The reason behind their book, their being uncomfortable, is his new tell-all book about the Saved by the Bell cast, which I think was deemed unpublishable.
Yes.
But apparently will be released in some form. Hmm. All right. Okay, perhaps perhaps they could send Bill Clinton in to save the... Maybe they could get Dustin Diamond to be part of...
Yeah, I don't know that reunion needs to...
No?
No.
It should remain screechless, in your opinion?
It should remain screechless.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right. You heard us right. The right wing is unhappy that the journalists have been released by North Korea. We will tell you why and play you the crunchy audio.
Big Dog and Al Gore hugging. Wow.
Oh, it is a reunion. Hey, is that Screech on the tarmac? All right, he's trying to get involved in some reunion. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Huh, that was kind of cool.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I get it, because the big dog rescued the girls from North Korea. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. Who is this speaking?
Laura Ling.
Laura Ling is speaking right now at Burbank Airport.
President Bill Clinton.
Stop it. This is very touching.
We were shocked, but we knew instantly in our hearts that the nightmare of our lives was finally coming to an end. And now we stand here, home and free. Yuna and I would just like to express our deepest gratitude to President Clinton and his wonderful, amazing, not to mention super cool team, including John Podesta, Doug Band, Justin Cooper, Dr. Roger Band, David Straub, Minji Kwan, and the United States Secret Service, who traveled halfway around the world and then some to secure our release. We'd also like to thank President Obama, Secretary Clinton, Vice President Gore, who we also call Al. The Swedish Ambassador, Matt Foyer, Kurt Tong, Linda McFadden, and the people at the U.S. State Department who worked so hard to win the release of their fellow Americans, Steve Bing and his crew, and Andrew Liveris and the Dow Company. And I know that I am forgetting a bunch of instrumental people right now, but forgive me if I'm a little incoherent. To our loved ones, friends, colleagues, and to the complete strangers with the kindness of hearts who showed us so much love and sent us so many positive thoughts and energy, we thank you. We could feel your love all the way in North Korea. Oh. It is what kept us going in the darkest of hours. It is what sustained our faith that we would come home. The past 140 days have been the most difficult, heart-wrenching time of our lives. We are very grateful that we were granted amnesty by the government of North Korea, and we are so happy to be home. And we are just so anxious right now to be able to spend some quiet, private time getting reacquainted with our families. Thank you so much.
Oy.
Kennedy's head must be exploding right
now. Oh. How can you possibly be against that, and yet the right wing is? I mean, it's really stunning. It's proving once again they have no soul. They have no soul. Al Gore is
say a few words. And on their behalf, all of us and on behalf of the staff and families of Current TV and my co-founder, Joel Hyatt, we want to welcome Laura and Una home. We want to thank President Bill Clinton for undertaking this mission and performing it so skillfully, and all the members of his team who played key roles in this. Also, to President Obama, Laura mentioned this, but President Obama and countless members of his administration have been deeply involved in this humanitarian effort. To Secretary Clinton and the members of the State Department, several of whom are here, they have really put their hearts in this. It speaks well of our country that when two American citizens are in harm's way, that so many people would just put things aside and just go to work to make sure that this has had a happy ending. And
most humans would put politics aside, but the right wing, no.
Computer says no.
We will get General Anthony Zinni's take on how this North Korean situation was handled, among other things, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Okay, settle down, Spaz.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Just enjoying the heartwarming pictures of the journalist being home from North Korea. He landing here. Throw a stone and hit them from here Burbank.
We could see it if only the CW building weren't in the way here.
And the smog. Anyway, the point is, theoretically, we could see them landing here at Burbank Airport. If only someone of some sort of international import could call in to give their opinion. Yes! Who is it, Jim?
Here to talk about his new book, Leading the Charge, Leadership Lessons from the Battlefield to the Boardroom, is General Anthony Zinni.
Well, boy howdy. Good morning, General.
Good morning.
So good to have you.
Good to be on.
Well, I have to get your take, since it is breaking news as we speak, that, you know, the journalists have just landed at Burbank Airport from North Korea. Bill Clinton obviously getting their release. To me,
right.
This could not really have been handled better in a leadership way, could it?
I agree. I certainly, it's a humanitarian mission, and I wish we wouldn't politicize it from our end. If the North Koreans need a photo op and they're that desperate, fine. It says a lot about who we are that a former president's willing to go there and bring them home. And he was very clear that this was a pure humanitarian mission, and that was the set of conditions he took it on. And, you know, we shouldn't politicize it. We ought to celebrate their return.
Well, I have to say, I was shocked, though, this morning, General, to find the right criticizing it. I mean, literally criticizing it, saying we should not have done this. I mean, at some point, aren't we all just human? I mean, they really want to see these women, in prison in North Korea rather than...
And absolutely. I mean, I agree. And whatever political motivation, if it was their daughters, they'd be happy to see President Clinton or President H.W. Bush, who has done humanitarian missions before, or any other president who was willing to go out there and bring our Americans home.
Right. Well, I got to get your reaction to John Bolton on Fox News.
Obviously, bringing a former president to North Korea is a lifeline of legitimacy for Kim Jong-il's regime, and other rogue states are watching this very carefully, I think, to our detriment. Bringing in somebody like President Clinton, who was deeply involved in dealing with North Korea on its nuclear weapons program during his presidency, hopelessly confuses those two issues, gives Kim Jong-il a leg up at a time when the regime is under a lot of pressure.
Do you agree with that analysis?
No, not at all. I think, you know, John's overstating that. If we really believe Kim Jong-il walked away with some great coup because of this and it's changed the minds of anybody in the region or the international community, I mean, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Well, General, I mean, in my opinion, and you tell me yours, is that, you know, the Bush administration, as you know, would tend to handle things with a lot of saber-rattling and bluster, and it seems like the Obama administration went about this quietly. Obviously, they laid the groundwork. You know, President Clinton knew he wasn't going to go. He was going to, obviously, he knew they were going to be released, correct? And it just seems like this has, you know, according to a lot of analysts, this is likely, maybe not now, to lead to renewed dialogue with Pyongyang, but it's just a better way to deal with issues internationally, don't you think?
Well, yeah, and again, I think that neither side, left or right, should get into a political debate over this. This was a pure humanitarian mission. I'm proud that one of our ex-presidents, regardless of what his party is, was willing to take this on personally. And it says a lot, again, about who we are, that we care enough about individual Americans, and we can put the politics aside and do whatever it takes to bring them home. And that says more than it does about other regimes who don't care about their people. And would put politics above humanitarian issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, General, I don't mean to be like a fourth grader, but they started it, the politicizing. I wasn't going to politicize it,
okay,
but I'm.
I'll referee this. Okay.
But I just think, I mean,
girls coming home.
Exactly. That's what I think is beyond the pale. That this is just such a wonderful human moment. I don't know if you're watching any of this on CNN or elsewhere, but I mean, it's so touching, and I think you're right. It should be an American moment, an American, you know, happy ending and a triumph. And, you know, here's the right wing saying, oh, Obama handled this wrong. It gives North Korea legitimacy, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it is amazing to, you know, you can't kind of suck the human element out of it, can you?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's a humanitarian moment. It's a great American moment. Let's celebrate it. Let's get the politics out of it. There are no politics. There are no downsides to this.
Now, you know, you speak in your book about the team of rivals that Obama has put together, and obviously one of them, Hillary Clinton, who was very instrumental in this. The State Department obviously laid the groundwork for this. It seems like it's working fairly well.
I think, to be honest with you, the jury's out. You know, there has been some confusion, especially on the foreign policy side. Vice President, Secretary of State, the National Security Advisor, and now these sort of super envoys with these huge staffs that are in non-confirmable positions and sort of overlaid, you know, the structure of the career diplomats. And to be honest with you, there's some grousing about that going on. And so, I think that structure still has to prove itself.
Mm-hmm.
It may work. I mean, it's certainly different, but I'm not so fast to say that, you know, this is the answer. I would like to see sort of more uniformity in how policy was made and who was in charge.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You have some sort of qualifications, commander-in-chief of something called CENTCOM.
Minor special, job.
Special envoy to the Middle East, whatever. But I have to get your take on Afghanistan, because I know that, you know, the word is there, you know, the president is going to be asked for more resources there. What do you think of our strategy in Afghanistan?
Well, I think certainly he's got a very comprehensive strategy, and certainly the tenets of that strategy are the right things. We have to get regional cooperation, international commitment to get this right. We need time on the ground to develop the security forces that the Afghans need. So the component parts of this strategy are very complete, and you can't argue with them. It's going to be a question of commitment, you know, not only on our part, but I think NATO and Europeans and others have to stand up more to this kind of commitment. The Indians, the Pakistanis, the Afghans, and others in the region have to grow up and cooperate, and we may have to crack some heads to get that done.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ambitious strategy, but it certainly hits on all the points. There's nothing missing from the strategy, and I think we have to understand that and be willing to stay the course on this one. This isn't Iraq, and it's important for us to get it right. I do think we have a great team out there in terms of the military on the ground. That's good news.
Yes. General, before you go, let me drag you back down into politics. Your book talks about leadership voids, but one of them clearly is the Republican Party. What can the Republican Party do when they have, I think a poll showed almost 60% of Republicans are not sure the president's American? How do you lead a party like that right now?
Well, obviously, there's an absence of leadership there. And I don't think that's good for the country, regardless of whether you're Republican or Democrat, mm-hmm. conservative or liberal. A two-party system, two viable parties, a loyal opposition is important. And they're in search for leadership and redefinition. This happens. I mean, we go through these cycles, and they're in a downside. Both parties have been there. But I think for the United States of America, it's important that they find the leadership they need and come back to a degree. We need the two-party system.
I agree.
And they're missing that leadership now.
I think better than a party and a half. Probably two would be best.
Yeah, a third or whatever, yeah.
And if anyone can tell them how to do it, it's General Anthony Zinni. The book is Leading the Charge, Leadership Lessons from the Battlefield to the Boardroom. General, thanks for taking time for us. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yay.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen from Commander of CENTCOM to a little fart joke radio show. But you know.
he was against the invasion of Iraq.
Yes.
Yes, but he was for the surge.
Mm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So there.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Let's go to Don in Rockford, Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. You are a conservative who is happy that the two Americans have been released this morning.
Yes. I mean, especially as an evangelical Christian, we have literally tens of thousands of Christians who have been slammed in prisons and are languishing in a lot more than 140 days. So I think this is one of the brightest things we've seen in years. And I think it's a tad bit disingenuous to think that the Democrats are not going to spin this into the Obama as the savior of all situations.
Well, you know, I gotta say, Don, I get, you know, I come from a certain point of view and you come from another, but I have to say the Obama administration has handled this very quietly. They actually haven't been doing that. It's the right wing. You've heard the sound clips I already played, right? I mean, it's the right wing that have already been criticizing this and politicizing it, and I think that's beyond the pale. You know, I think you are a conservative with a conscience, as Barry Goldwater would say.
Well, and I snapped off my emails to these idiot birthers and people who don't think this is a wonderful thing. Bill Clinton is a wonderful man. I was a very, you know, I was a Hillary Clinton supporter, and I was, you know, voted for Bill Clinton when he was president. I mean, I just think these are wonderful people that did a wonderful thing, and to try and I mean, no offense, but when you guys say, well, these Obama people, they're the ones who we should snap at you just as much as these goofballs on the right saying that there's something bad or wrong that can come out of this. This was nothing, but this was all good, as our culture says. And,
Don, we have shared a magical human bipartisan moment.
See you later.
And I thank you. Okay, 43 minutes.
He didn't sound as impressed as
you did. He didn't seem as touched as I am by the whole thing. But all right, 43 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the returning journalist from North Korea as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, even I found that to be in bad taste.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. We'll be right back.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, no. Lost in the breaking news of the journalist being released from North Korea. I buried the lead.
Yes, you did. Can't believe you.
We need to send Bill Clinton into the American Idol negotiations. Paula Abdul has tweeted this morning that she will not be back.
Yes.
And the producers have tweeted, hang on a minute. There is an impasse. Big Dog must go. He must repack his carry-on and go. He's already here. He's in L.A. Come on.
That's right.
All right. We'll keep you apprised of whether Paula Abdul will be back.
Well, it's funny that she tweeted this right after Kara DioGuardi signed another year-long contract. So,
that bitch.
I think
How
there might be a
dare
little.
She?
I am not one of your fans.
Who could have seen that coming?
Yeah.
All right, Jim, I have a thematic guess the quote this morning. Who said suddenly we were told we were going to a meeting, we were taken to a location, and when we walked in through the doors, we saw standing before us President Bill Clinton, and I knew the nightmare was coming to an end. Who
said? Carrot Top.
No. That was a bad guess. That was Laura Ling. Just arrived at Burbank Airport with the big dog on the party plane.
Okay. Yeah, although I think our long national nightmare would be over if Carrot Top were captured by the North Koreans.
Yes.
Oh, Christopher.
Was that awful?
The Carrot Stephanie Top Miller Show would like to apologize to Carrot Top and his carrot family. It's just a joke. We hope he's not captured by North Korea. Chris was just saying. Okay. Lavender
Kim Jong-il might be a fan. You never know.
He's a fan of Heart to Heart, so can Carrot Top be far behind?
Who wasn't a fan of Heart to Heart?
Not me.
Oh, Jonathan. Okay. Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson. Hello.
Good morning, Mama. Long time no talk.
Yes. How you been?
Oh, good. As I was listening to Yuna Lee speaking about the long national nightmare being over, all I could think of when she opened that door and saw Bill Clinton there would be Ode to Joy spontaneously playing out of the atmosphere.
Oh, wie Zionism und Zionism und Fliegen.
Well, if you were in a North Korean prison and then you saw Bill, you would pretty much be having an Ode to Joy episode right there.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet mystery of life, I found him. Yes. All right. Thank you, Lavender Pitt. That would be the other. That would be a different woman that would come in my head. That's not the one I thought she was talking about.
Ode to Joy is the fourth movement of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
Anyone knows that. All right. So,
from which I started to sing the tenor solo.
I understand, Jim, and I appreciate it very deeply. All right. As we know, former President Clinton left Pyongyang, which Pyongyang. I only read that sentence so that I could say Pyongyang.
Pyongyang.
Oh, my God.
Early Wednesday. Okay.
I want to hear Laura Ingraham say Pyongyang.
Pyongyang. Okay. The meeting also, of course, appeared aimed at dispelling persistent questions about the health of our dear leader. Not our dear leader, their dear leader.
Yeah.
Kim smiled broadly for a photo standing next to the towering Clinton. Yeah, he looked like a little teeny next to Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Somebody give me a half apple.
Like you could open him up and a lot of little other Kim Jong-il dolls would come out. Like just one would be smaller than another.
Give me my elevator shoes.
Anyway, seems like a trade worth making, huh? A few photos for our journalists back? Okay. Mm-hmm. The journalist release followed weeks of quiet negotiations between the State Department and the North Korean mission to the UN. According to an expert, Clinton didn't go to negotiate this. He went to reap the fruits of the negotiation. Like I said, once again, Hillary did all the hard work, and Bill got all the credit. I'm sure she's fine with that. Okay. And meanwhile, North... As you recall, they recently got into a war of words. North Korea called her a funny lady.
Oh, yeah.
Who sometimes looks like a primary schoolgirl and sometimes a pensioner going shopping. So she got the insults and he gets all the glory. Par for the course. All right. She's fine with it. Okay. All right. And, of course, President Obama will get credit, too.
And, of course, he was flying back in a plane with two hot... I'm sure nothing untoward happened.
Although, stop it, Jim. Yes?
They're not his type.
No. All right.
You need to put a few LBs on you.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary.
It's obviously a very sensitive topic. We will hope to provide some more detail at a later point. Our focus right now is on ensuring that the safety of two journalists that are in North Korea right now.
Yeah, we didn't, as I mentioned earlier, get the sort of saber-rattling or bluster we would have gotten if George Bush were still in. They just handled it quietly. They were working behind the scenes. You know, and to me, again, this couldn't have been handled any better. An analysis, Associated Press analysis, the Obama administration let North Korean leader Kim Jong-il save face by releasing two jailed Americans to former President Bill Clinton. The payoff, maybe not right away, is likely to be a renewed dialogue with Pyongyang about its nuclear weapons program. After a meeting with
Dialogue, schmialog.
I think if George Bush were still president, they would have been sentenced to 12 more years hard labor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time he opened his gap.
We're going to turn Korea into a radioactive parking lot with our nuclear weapons. That'll show them.
Of course.
Yeah, would have been, and then Kim Jong-il would have had to keep attacking on years to their sentence every time George Bush opened his mouth at a big press conference.
Oh, they're going to be here for 100 years now. Nice work, cowboy.
Obama, while pushing heavy sanctions against the North for its recent nose-thumbing of the international community, has been low-key. There's something new, low-key, as he pursues a resumption of talks with the regime. Nobody wanted this to be a distraction from the more substantially difficult issues we have with North Korea. There was a desire by the administration to resolve this quietly, and from the very beginning, they didn't allow it to become a huge public issue. So, you know, and once again, it's a happy ending, is it not? Well,
yes, it is.
Not according to the right wing. If you're, say, Kevin Madden on the Situation Room.
I do think that that what's troubling about this, in one regard, is that it's a continuation of what many Republicans have referred to as the basketball diplomacy. That we continue to go over to North Korea. We make a deal with them. They get something, but we don't get anything in return. Their veracity is continually in question, and their ability to hold forth to the agreements that we set are are always in question.
And that's all Laura Ling's fault, and that's why she should have rotted forever. Stephen Hayes on the Britt Baer show.
This is legitimacy. I mean, John Bolton is right. This is a lifeline to a regime that is a terrorist regime that has proliferated nuclear technology to a terror-sponsoring state in Syria that, brutalizes its own people, and there Bill Clinton is, in effect, begging to get these journalists back.
So he should have nuked him. Killed our journalists and
along with everyone in North Korea
and South Korea,
because
Seoul is not that far from Pyongyang.
Yeah, exactly.
good plan.
And Bill Clinton didn't. This obviously was already a done deal. Bill Clinton didn't go begging. They obviously had already agreed to this. Governor Bill Richardson yesterday.
I talked to Lisa Ling, who I've been working with on this issue for some time, along with the administration. Although I don't speak for the administration, they asked for my advice, and she's very excited. The fact that the girls have been pardoned, I think Lisa is her sister has had some physical ailments, but the fact that it looks like everything is moving towards a return back home, she's very excited. Lisa's suffered a lot. You know, this has been 5 months. This has been one of the longest detainments of Americans that we've had a long time, and I've been able to get a couple of different ones out. But this one has lasted 5 months. There was a sentence of hard labor. The girls were, getting obviously having some physical ailments. But the great news is that they're coming home.
And he knows more about North Korea than probably any American does.
As he said, negotiated.
Negotiated with them. What a pansy.
Got some sort of positive outcome.
Should have gone in like Rambo and killed everybody in the room.
Okay. Yeah. 57 minutes after the hour. Representative John Sarbanes, Democrat of the great state of Maryland, coming up on the Celebrity Hotline on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Representative John Sarbanes, Democrat of the great state of Maryland, coming up on the Celebrity Hotline. Let's talk about all things healthcare and cash for clunkers, etc. Representative Elliot Engel, Democrat of the great state of New York, next hour on the Celebrity Hotline as well. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Well, the party of no continues to be against everything.
Computer says no.
Like the release of the journalist from North Korea. You heard me right. They've already come out saying it gives legitimacy to North Korea,
whatever.
And blah, blah, and they prefer that they were in prison doing more hard labor or whatever.
Yep.
Okay. Have I summarized correctly about the soulless bastards on the right?
You really have. Okay. My mouth dropped open quite a few times last night while watching that.
Uh-huh. You're like, surely they will have some sort of heart or soul around this whole story.
No.
Nope. No.
That's French and gay.
Mm-hmm. So, not just against Americans being released from overseas, against Cash for Clunkers, the wildly popular program.
Yes, and successful.
Ray LaHood, Transportation Secretary.
We are not discontinuing the program. We have enough money to continue. We encourage people to go into showrooms. This is a wildly popular program.
And that's, of course, why the Republicans are against it, like Senator Tom Coburn, Republican of Oklahoma.
Why not an increase in demand for boats? Or how about RVs? Or how about refrigerators? They're more efficient.
What?
I don't know. This is all they've got.
Yeah. What about washing machines? How about...
Well, who's the guy that did the joke yesterday? How about chicken? How about cash for cluckers?
Huh?
How about non-sequiturs? How about cash for non-sequiturs?
If some of us were paying attention, the auto industry kind of been in some trouble in this country, kind of a major industry propping up our economy. And so, one would think, if one were American and all, one would applaud
this
wildly
successful
part of the stimulus.
That, 2 years or so.
Yeah. All right, Senator Chuck Schumer saying health care will get done.
These plans will likely be considered only as a last resort, but make no mistake about it, they remain on the table. No matter what happens, we're going to enact health care reform by the end of the year.
It's your birthday. Go, Chucky. New polling, Jim, shows Americans solidly behind the president's health care plan, which is why... The Republicans are against it.
Yes.
As you can imagine. Okay. As they are against the first Hispanic Supreme Court justice to be Sonia Sotomayor, like Senator Mitch McGinnis.
Empathy is only good if you're lucky enough to be the person or group that the judge in question has empathy for. In those cases, it's the judge, not the law, which determines the outcome.
So she's only going to look out for brown people, so you can't trust her.
Well, he's on the lookout for lips.
Right. Let's review what we've learned thus far in the Stephanie Miller newscast. Republicans against American journalists being released from prison overseas, against the wildly popular Cash for Clunkers, against health care reform, and against the first Hispanic Supreme Court justice, and against empathy for good measure.
I'm against it.
Wow. The sixth edition of UCLA Slang, the new dictionary, they're going to be against that, too. You know why?
Why?
Because Obama means cool.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Have you seen that picture? Because John McCain could never look this cool.
Yeah.
Doesn't get out of the car with the sunglasses and the jacket. Obama, meaning cool, as in you so Obama. That's the new slang. You so Obama, man.
Where's the verb in that sentence?
Oh, please, grammar,
verb.
Please.
I also need a verb.
Also, verbs are old thinking.
Also in the old, in the new...
Republicans are against verbs.
Something in the new UCLA slang dictionary, something close to my own heart. Eargasm.
Mm-hmm.
Which is how Sparks gave me one yesterday, if you were following.
Oh, God.
The pictures.
Yes.
Sick Chris LaVoie was tweeting.
Oh, God. Oh,
they were a little ribald. You look like you've posed like that before, Stephanie.
I don't know why.
You really do.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what the number one comment?
Dominatrix outfit.
You know what the number one comment was? What is up with those boots?
Oh, they're my Uggs.
Yeah.
I wear them to spin class.
Okay.
Okay.
You that was the number one comment on those pictures.
No comments about my ass or my rack or anything?
Oh, God, no comments about your rack. There were a few about your ass, but
thank you.
Mostly about
thank you.
Your boots.
You don't wear your Uggs on the bike, though.
No.
That would be gross.
Yes.
Foolish.
No. Okay, bad news for you, Jim. Poor weather has been blamed for a disappointing turnout in the... they were trying to photograph the most women in bikinis ever.
Damn it.
Yeah. Yes. Beach attempt to break a world record for bikini-clad beauties failed. Only 42 women showed up. Organizers had hoped to get into the record books by getting 1,923 women wearing swimwear on the sands of Essex seaside town, beating the number reached in Russia last year, which presumably would have included a lot of Russian women in bathing suits, which I'm not sure.
Well,
if that's
young
good.
Russian women.
Yeah, but Russian women can be beautiful.
Yes.
Or they can be orally tainted.
But yes, they can.
Tates, pardon me.
Yeah.
Orally Tates, the leader of the birther movement.
We found out why there has been such an epidemic of stupidity in the United States. It seems that Pennsylvania has attacked us with a secret weapon called...
Orally Tates? Is that her name?
Orally Tates. She's from Russia. She's crazy as loon.
I just need to know how much time do I have. I had bad experience in CNN.
She's a Russian dentist lawyer.
Actress.
Oh, so in Russia, you could do everything at the same time.
She'll give you plenty of time, but answer the question.
Okay.
Fine. Answer the question.
Ann Coulter says that this is foolishness. And has referred to the birthers as cranks.
You know, it's just a few cranks out there.
Listen, you just called me names. You said this is a crazy movement.
Computer says yes.
Oh, the only ones that are crazy that are listening to Obama's lies.
Computer says no.
You know when Bill O'Reilly has gotten off the birther crazy bus before you?
You make it look crazy.
Many conservative Republicans are acting foolishly. They are frenzied over the president's birth certificate.
Oily taint.
Welcome to Taint Mansion. This is where it all happened.
Answer. Let me answer.
Each was a truthful come
you
out.
You got 3 seconds, so we're going to have to respectfully end this.
You will be done.
You will be done now.
You will be done when I send Pogrom over to your house. You may take it to Gulag.
There's a new Facebook group called the Orally Taint Appreciation Society.
We started that on this show. When I say we, I mean Jim, and then I took credit for it.
Yeah. They're trying to get her to run for president.
Hmm. Hell, out of the oily part.
Yes,
oily
taint.
Taint.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Although oily is pretty funny, too.
All right. Okay. Not since the teabaggers have we had such good eighth grade fun.
That's right.
All right. Can I have my fine American music? Once again, Jim, another story. Good for America, bad for Republicans. Mm-hmm. June consumer spending and pending home sales rise. U.S. consumers spent more in June, and there was positive news on the housing market. By the way, so the recession not over. Clearly, we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
There is a drop in incomes. It is a slow recovery, as the president has said. Jobs usually the last thing that turns around. But the housing data bolstered views that the housing market, at the heart of the longest economic downturn since the Great Depression, was starting to dig itself out of a 3-year slump and carry the broader economy with it. Fear is subsiding somewhat as this discussion of the end of the recession gets pretty prevalent. Said one financial expert, consumers are starting to spend some of the cash they've been hoarding. You're seeing that with automobiles.
Hmm.
Well, what could be causing that? Perhaps the stimulus is working exactly as it was intended.
No! Gah! Gah! Damn it! What do we do now?
Dave in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Mooks. You know, with the Pyongyang situation,
Pyongyang.
The Kim Jong-il administration wants to cleanse the stink of being listed as one of the actors of evil, thanks to Bush, by having those secretive negotiations. And can we send Tom Coburn to North Korea? Can you do that?
Yeah. Well, nobody is naive about Korea. It's not even saying like right now anything is going to happen, but it may. You know, it may. Yep. It may at least start the dialogue. Somebody was saying, one expert was saying, that North Korea always gets itself out on a ledge and then it needs help getting back in. So if this is a way that helps them but can restart dialogue, then good.
Maybe they'll want to be, become part of the family of respected nations and not pull stunts like launching missiles towards Hawaii.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, about understanding international culture is you gave Kim Jong-il a way to save face.
Right.
And meanwhile, we have two Americans home with their families this morning.
Absolutely.
And Kim Jong-il's got some pictures for the mantle. So.
Exactly. There's only one thing that can ruin all that now. Crazy religious right-wing Scott. Hello.
Oh, no.
Good morning, Miss Miller, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, sir.
I'd like to say that I'm very disturbed by the communist Obama health care plan. And I'm going to tell you why.
It's not even socialist anymore.
I can see who's the puppets here. You got Rahm Emanuel, who said never waste a crisis. He's a rabid Zionist. You have David Axelrod, who's Obama's right-hand man, Larry Summers, and other powerful liberal Jewish communist leaders.
So you think our healthcare system is working just fine. This was all part of a communist plot.
I believe that to make America communist. And the same idea goes with Wall Street, with these international Jewish bankers that have caused us to go broke. And then you got U.S. foreign policy.
What caused you to take your laser focus off the homosexuals? And they're going to feel left out this morning.
I can't attack everyone, Miss Miller.
I understand. All right, comrade. I understand. Scott. Okay, thank you. All right.
I kind of think that might be a little performance art, the whole right-wing Scott thing. Yeah.
All right. I think Paul's a real right-winger in Riverside. Hi, Paul. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
How are you doing today?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Good. I want to know what your opinion is on the part of the legislation, of the health care legislation, of covering the estimated 12 million illegal aliens. It's on page 232 of the health care plan stating that...
Well, here's the thing. The health care plan is not actually written, sir, so I'm not sure which page of which bill you're looking at.
It is written.
No, it's not written. They have to merge all of the bills, so there is no health care bill at present.
There is a health care bill that the Congress...
Oh, you must be referring to the page that Freedom Works sent you or some other right-wing group?
No. Stop for a second. I am an ultra-conservative Republican, and I'm for the health care plan. Okay, I'm for
just not the part that...
Especially covering all of the elderly, which my parents are elderly. I want them to
Medicare already covers them.
But I do not want to cover any illegal aliens at all.
Here's the thing, though. If the illegal aliens have, say, for example, TB that is not treatable,
you're in danger of getting it.
And where do they get the TB? Do they get the tuberculosis? Not in tuberculosis, not in the United States. They get it from Honduras, El Salvador.
But
Mexico.
If they're here, maybe they should be getting some health care,
some treatment.
The bill to all of those consulates, not to the American taxpayer.
Let's try to put this on a human level. Illegal immigrant, I don't know, if it's a child or not, gets hit by a car right in front of you,
I would take them. Yes, I would stop my car and actually take them to the emergency room.
Right, you don't want them to be treated at the emergency room.
I want them to be treated at the emergency room, but I do not want them covered for the rest of their lives, free health care on my tax.
Paul, you do realize that it is vastly more expensive to treat someone at an emergency room than it is to cover them under health care.
I've been in the health care field for 32 years. I know.
So were you for comprehensive immigration reform? Were you for the McCain-Kennedy bill?
No, I'm not for amnesty at all, period.
Okay, well, you just gave them all amnesty, all the people that are here, by not passing any sort of immigration reform, didn't you?
But it's purely amnesty. Their immigration reform is pure.
Right, well, you proved
amnesty.
Your point, and now we have the same number of illegal immigrants in the country instead of...
And then why don't we, as Democrats, Republicans, and liberals, and conservatives, shut the borders?
Well, that was Bush that wasn't that didn't close that didn't you know
if that were that easy
borders.
To do it would have been done by now.
Yeah.
It's a big country.
All right. 20 minutes after the All right. Let's leave that lay for a moment. 20 minutes after the hour. Back with the latest on the healthcare debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh my God, that's like my favorite show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours, damn right. It's better than yours, I could teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours, damn right. It's better than yours, I could teach you, but I have to charge.
Maybe that's why she's getting a divorce. Brought too many boys to the yard.
Yeah, you know how that milkshake. Is.
Khalees is getting a divorce?
That's what I read in the tabloids.
Really? What do you know about
husbands get cranky
Khalees
about
news?
Too many boys
well,
in the yard.
You know, I shop at supermarkets.
Reach the rags.
Okay, you're the smart one on the show. Khalees?
That's what I hear.
I'll handle the dumb stuff. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Vince in Chicago on Cash for Clunkers. Hey, Vince.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Good, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, Cash for Clunkers sucks when your car doesn't qualify. I have a 94 Ford Taurus that gets 20 miles per gallon, so it doesn't qualify. And, you know, I think everyone should be able to get that $4,500 if they want it for their car.
No, it's meant to get clunkers and gas guzzlers off the road.
You're saying my car's not a clunker?
It's not clunky enough, sorry.
It's a 94 Ford Taurus.
It's pretty clunky.
Your car's not crappy enough. Sorry, Ben.
Yeah. Not everybody qualifies. It's designed to get gas guzzlers off the road.
Too fuel efficient.
Yeah.
Don't you love this turnaround on used car lots? You're arguing with the dealer about how crappy your car is.
Yeah.
That you're trying to turn in. No, it's crap. Look at what a piece of crap it is.
Maybe you could drive it with flat tires so it gets worse mileage. And then,
yeah.
Then they'll take it.
Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, buddy.
Hey, good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
Hey, the adults are back in charge.
Hey, how about that?
I mean, I started crying. I just started bawling when I saw that. And then I heard that Bill...
You're talking about, of course, the journalist being released this morning.
And then the quote was, Bill Clinton stays in the background so the families can have time together.
Yeah.
And what class. And the thing is that Obama stays in the background.
Yep.
And I want everybody to know right now he has George Mitchell, who brought peace to Northern Ireland, working on Israel and Palestine. And George Mitchell's response to press all the time is, do you want to talk? No.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, they're used to the bluster and the machismo or whatever, the cowboy diplomacy of George Bush, and it's like they're like, he's not being strong enough in North Korea, he's not doing anything. Oh, they're out now. Never mind.
But the thing is...
He's doing stuff behind the scenes that's getting results. That's what diplomacy is, you know? Check into it sometime. All right, here is more good news for America, bad news for Republicans. A majority back Obama on health care reform. What? I thought, huh? A majority of Americans are in favor of having a public or government-run option in the U.S. healthcare system as proposed by President Barack Obama, according to a new poll. We were talking about what the difference in the questions was here, Chris, because it's a Harris poll, 52% in favor of a government-run plan, 30% against it. But it says nearly 7 in 10 Americans, that's almost 70%, Jim.
Very nearly.
Say a government-run plan would be a valuable alternative to private insurance. 60% thought it would help keep insurance costs down. 55% said it would allow patients to get better care.
Which is why they must be stopped!
All right, 28 minutes after the hour, we will talk to Congressman John Sarbanes from Maryland about it next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Just like
Stephanie Miller.
I'll use my sexuality as a weapon.
Hi-ya! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, it seems like the tide is turning. We're starting to win the healthcare fight. If only there was someone calling from the middle of the fray.
From the great state of Maryland, it's Representative John Sarbanes.
Well, hello now. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for taking time for us.
Sure. My pleasure.
You know, I was just quoting a new Harris poll that shows the majority of Americans back a public option, are backing essentially the president's plan. Do you think the tide is turning on this?
Well, I don't know that the tide is turning. It's just staying as strong as it was. The public has been for this public option from the beginning because, frankly, they're smarter than all the rest of us. They figured out a long time ago that if you're going to get out from under this monopoly that the insurance companies have on the system, you've got to have some kind of alternative
you know, so that's what the public option is. That's all the public option is. So.
Yeah, well, I think it was Kathleen Sebelius, the Secretary of Health and Human Service, that I think he said it best, you know, to explain it to the American people. She said the current healthcare system gives insurance companies all the power. They get to pick and choose who gets a policy. They can deny coverage because of a pre-existing condition. They can offer coverage only at exorbitant rates or offer coverage so thin there's no coverage at all. By giving American choices, health reform will switch the roles. Americans will get peace of mind and insurance companies will start getting nervous.
There's an index that is used by the Justice Department when it looks at antitrust violations in terms of competitiveness or the lack of competitiveness in markets across the country. 95% of the markets across the country, when you look at them in terms of health insurance, are dominated by one or two players. Now, they have an antitrust exemption right now, so there's nothing that can be done about it. But that shows the control that the private health insurance industry has had over the system for so many years, and all we want to do is, you know, mix it up a little bit.
Right. Well, that, you know, that's the thing you have to understand when you see a lot of these ads funded by the health insurance industry. Of course they don't want competition.
Right.
You know? The other thing that obviously, you know, I think is a good thing is it's being exposed that a lot of these town halls you guys are giving, obviously these are you know, right-wing activists that are being sent there just to cause trouble, not to have a meaningful dialogue.
Well, you know, we said in the campaign, and it was true, that the Internet can be a great organizing tool, and that's true, but it can also be a great organizing tool for people that want to come out and ambush these things. And, you know, that's what they've done, and they're trying to shout down and shout out the people that really want to have a meaningful discussion on health care reform. We're continuing to have that discussion. We're doing town halls. We're doing telephone town halls. And what we discover is that the demand is still there. The public, they haven't given up on this. They've wanted health care reform for decades, and they want to make sure that it happens this time around. And we've got a bill that's not just okay. It's spectacular. The things that it does to address the concerns that people have been expressing for years and years is unbelievable. I mean, just start with pre-existing conditions and the coverage exclusions that people have had to deal with that have led to these heart-wrenching stories of health care being denied by these private plans. That's something that's going to get addressed in this plan. So there's good stuff in there, and we're going to keep talking about it.
Well, you know, and I like the fact that obviously at this meeting yesterday the president had with Senate Democrats, you know, obviously there is consensus coming out of there, even Harry Reid saying, you know, we're still going to try to get a bipartisan bill, but we will have health care reform by the end of the year. That's what Chuck Schumer is saying as well.
Right. Look, bipartisan, an effort to get bipartisan support for a health reform bill of this magnitude, that makes sense, but we're not going to do that, you know, in a way that sacrifices the critical objectives of the reform effort. So we'll just see where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
There's important elements to this that have to be preserved. I view the public option as one of them, but there's others. There's got to be investment in workforce. There's got to be an emphasis on preventive and primary care. That's all part of what we've drafted, and I think it's critical to the reform.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it seems to me, Congressman, that there's just, it's like the town halls. There's a lot of noise coming from the right, but, you know, it is interesting. You know, I think they just did a poll that shows there literally are only six states in the union right now where there are majority Republicans,
right?
Because I think people are recognizing they don't have any, you know, any ideas.
Right.
It's just they're against health care. You know, they're against cash for clunkers, which is, by all measures, been wildly successful.
Right.
Exactly
right.
How the stimulus was intended to work, right?
Right, right. Well, look, there's a lot of noise out there, it's true, but there's also a kind of quiet, steady, and determined majority of Americans who know that the healthcare system doesn't function right now and that we've got to fix it. And I think at the end of the day, they're going to be there, they're going to register their opinions, and they're going to support the kind of reform that we've drafted. And we just got to keep moving forward, not be deterred from this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, this is our chance.
Mm-hmm. Congressman, you know, you would think that even in moments like this morning, I don't know if you're watching any of the coverage of this just heartwarming reunion of these journalists with their families that have just been released from North Korea by Bill Clinton. You know, obviously with the Obama administration laying the groundwork and the State Department, and it couldn't be a happier outcome for Americans. And yet, literally, you have Republicans criticizing it this morning, saying it gives legitimacy to North Korea and to Kim Jong-il. I mean, literally, I guess they would have preferred that these Americans stayed in prison.
look, again, we're just going to keep doing good things. We're going to keep doing things that make sense. We're going to exercise a diplomacy where you move around with a kind of respect for the international community. It's a different style. It's a different style of diplomacy. It's a different style of governing. But frankly, I think it's a style the American people have missed, and they know that it can be very, very effective, and see the results this morning and see that what we're going to be able to accomplish on health care reform and climate change and all these other important issues.
Well, it does seem to me, Congressman, you've hit on a theme there that, you know, whether it was the Bush administration or Republicans now, it seems like what we always got was a lot of bluster and, you know, swagger and all that. And yet you look at either, you know, the Somali pirate situation, you look at this situation, and it seems to me the Obama administration handled it quietly, but could not have handled it any better.
Well,
and it's the same thing, these town halls, they're doing a lot of screaming on the right, but, you know, they're not having a meaningful conversation about health care reform.
I've always said there's two ways to come into a room. You can break the door down to announce your presence, which creates a sort of initial impression of some kind, but it's not particularly constructive. Or you can come into the room quietly, making it very clear that you've got a certain amount of power and weight behind you, but indicating that you're ready to be in that room to talk to people. I think that that's the kind of approach that earns more lasting respect and achieves, as a result of that, better outcomes. And, you know, it's going to take a while to restore a certain faith in the fact that America can conduct itself that way. But once we get back to that, I think we're going to see real results.
Well, Congressman, if I could advise you one thing to come into the room with for your town halls this August, that is your birth certificate in a baggie.
That's a good suggestion. Yeah.
All right.
I'll take that.
All right. Congressman John Sarbanes, a Democrat of the great state of Maryland, thanks for taking time for us, and
thanks
for fighting for health care reform.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. There he goes. John Sarbanes.
Is he related to Paul Sarbanes?
He is.
I thought so.
Yes, he is.
Who's Paul Sarbanes? Am I missing something?
A long, long-term senator from Maryland.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yes, him.
Oh,
yes.
That one.
Is he Sarbanes-Oxley?
Speaking of the senator from Maryland is Barbara McCluskey, right?
McCluskey. Mm-hmm.
Did you hear she was the only one not at the lunch except for the ill senators because she broke her ankle? She's all the president's women.
Wow.
What's the deal with all the president's women? They're like, what's his name? Samuel Jackson in that movie Unbreakable. Hillary Clinton. Sonia Sotomayor.
They need more calcium, clearly.
Barbara McCluskey. Broke her ankle. Okay. I don't know what the deal is.
Maybe that's why she hasn't called.
Hey, birthers, get on this. There's a new conspiracy. What's going on? The president's a woman beater. Get on it. Okay, 42 minutes. Boy. I'm just giving him something to do.
All right.
After this pathetic forgery, you know, 42 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the healthcare town halls as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ha! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. What's Charlie Manson doing on CNN?
It's the 40-year anniversary of the murders.
Yeah.
I thought Bill Clinton was trying to get him released.
But they were, he was doing some odd things with his eyebrows. It reminded me of George W. Bush.
He was
looking really crazy. You know, when he did that thing when he, I'm making a joke because he raised my eyebrow.
Yeah, the telegraphing comedy eyebrows that he would do at really inappropriate
like Bush
moments. Yeah, it was like sociopathic in that there would always be a thing when he was talking about death. He'd do the little comedy eyebrows.
Please don't kill me. They will be put to death. Chuck it off.
Okay, let's go to Liz in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Liz.
Hello. Yes. So the journalists, getting the journalists back from Korea, was negotiating with terrorists. Now, Korea is part of the axis of evil, and Iran is part of the axis of evil. So I'm guessing that that means we shouldn't negotiate for the return of the Americans who are being held by Iran for entering that country
if you're
illegally.
No, if you're listening to the right wing, it's best that as many Americans as possible rot in jails
so that
we don't look weak.
There is another possibility in the Iran situation, and that is, you know, maybe Iran should just kick them out and send them back right away because we know what we think about people who cross borders illegally.
Well, all right.
I was watching some analyst yesterday, and he was saying that the Iran situation is a little more complicated and nuanced than our situation with North Korea. So negotiations with Iran would be a lot more complicated.
Who do you negotiate with?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
first of all,
that's why we haven't gone in there and started negotiating for the release of those hikers.
How do you accidentally hike into Iran? How did that happen?
Who the hell goes to Iran for a vacation hike?
Appalachian Trail is nice at this time of year. Ask Governor Sanford.
Yeah, which apparently leads right to Argentina.
And you get hot Argentinian tail on it.
There you go.
It's a long trail. Nancy in Mesa, Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Cash for Clunkers. Hi, Nance.
Hi. I need to let you all know that this Cash for Clunkers goes through them people obtaining new cars because in Mesa, the auto recycling yards are gaining on this, too, because these clunkers are not resold. They can't be resold. And so they go to the recycling yards. Their parts are taken out and resold, which means they're making money. A business is making money from the clunkers.
Right.
Besides the car dealers, and it's keeping people working.
Yep, absolutely, which
and
is why it must go, according to Republicans.
Inventory goes down. They need to produce more cars, which also puts people to work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. All right. President Obama rallied fellow Democrats yesterday for health care reform and agreed that they should give Republicans only until mid-September to get behind the plan. Yee-hoo! It's like I said, Jim, maybe it really was everyone chill the out. I got this.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Reid said everyone recognizes that we are going to, if there's any way possible, a bipartisan bill.
Whatever.
Okay. He said we don't want to do a partisan bill.
We don't want to do a partisan bill. And we hope our Republican colleagues acknowledge that. We'll continue to work with them as long as we have to.
Okay. And Chuck Schumer reiterated that reconciliation will only be used as a last resort, but it remains on the table.
That's right.
Which I think is, because at some point you're going, how long are you going to give them? First of all, we've gotten zero votes. Like, what do you really think in more time they'll really kind of go, you know, maybe we should get behind this? No. By the way, the booing that's going on at the town halls by all these right-wing activists that have been,
bust in.
Yes, by the crazy right-wing groups. White House spokesman Robert Gibbs said that he felt some such opposition was manufactured by conservative groups. He said, I think some of it is yes, in answer to a question they've bragged about to some degree, manufacturing that anger. Max Baucus, he was also at the meeting. He said later Obama discussed limits on their push for Republican backing. Come here, Baucus. I said a public option. Did you hear me? The president said he hopes it doesn't happen, but it may come to a point where we have to go in a different direction, Max Baucus said yesterday. Senator Judd Gregg, a Republican of New Hampshire, talking about reconciliation.
They'd have to get 60 votes for the real health care policy, which would be things like the exchange, things like even the public option. That would have to get 60 votes.
Why? I don't. I'm unclear what he's talking about with that.
Reconciliation is used for budget matters only. And so there are some things in the health care bill that you can use reconciliation for, but other things you need 60 votes for. It's a really, really complicated thing.
Why don't
thing
we just change the rules?
There's an idea. We're in charge.
Senator, the Senate has such slippery rules that I can't wrap my brain around them.
I know. Senator Mitch McKinless basically saying what we all know is they're going to continue to oppose it no matter what.
Right.
Yeah.
A sort of major overhaul of one-sixth of our economy is not likely to enjoy anything other than bipartisan opposition.
Thanks for all your help.
So
Are
you going to give up your health care that you get for being a senator? No.
No.
Really?
No.
Huh.
Tucker in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Goddess. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to say something to my right-wing friends out there about criticizing Bill Clinton for going to North Korea. At least we didn't sell weapons to try to regain those hostages.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
So, hey, another quick thing on right-wing Scott earlier in the day. Some of those comments he made are very reminiscent, and I'm assuming he's probably a fairly lonely guy as well, to the blogs from this guy who shot up the LA Fitness last night in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's this kind of right-wing rhetoric that foments this. And not to say that this guy in Pennsylvania was even a right-winger. We don't know that yet, but he was somebody who was lonely, disenfranchised, and decided and was talking for over a year and was still able to get a hold of a lot of guns and a lot of weapons.
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing. You look at these town halls, they're just ginning up a lot of phony anger, you know, over things that aren't even in the bill, you know. Anyway, a good light White House lunch was had by all, according to Democrats, with the president yesterday. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said, "We're ready to take on the world." He likened Obama to a football coach giving his team a pep talk. Reid said the senators are still determined to get a comprehensive health care plan despite the shrill voices of opposition. Senator Max Baucus, this might have been a little over the top. He said one of the senators was saying to me as we walked out, you know, it's wonderful to hear him speak. It's like a symphony. Oh, hearing the president speak, it's like
a symphony. Oh,
not that kind of symphony. Not. The song I hear a symphony, Diana Ross. That's Whenever you're near me. Okay. So the White House also fighting back against like the Drudge Report, for instance. The White House fired back at the Drudge Report, part of a fresh viral pushback over what it called a campaign of misstatements and outright falsehoods on health care. Obama aides pointed to a 2007 video that Drudge linked to under a headline that told readers it showed President Obama explaining how his health care plan will eliminate private insurance. You know, he said a lot of things about health care over the years, and what they're doing is putting together these things that make it sound as ominous as possible
right.
to people on the right. The clip was no longer on the Drudge Report Tuesday morning.
Hmm.
Yay for that. Yay for fighting
done,
back.
Huh? The damage was done. He didn't need it anymore.
Yeah. Lynette in Minneapolis on health care. Hello, Lynette.
Oh, hey, Stephanie and Mooks. I'm just wondering about something. Since the health insurance companies have regularly been making decisions for doctors and their patients, like deciding who'll get treatment with pre-existing conditions or, you know, whatever, aren't they practicing medicine without a license? And why aren't they being arrested for this?
There you go. There's something we could put in the health care bill.
Yeah.
Right-wing Jan in Amherst, up the transit from Mama's hometown of Lackport, wants to admit that he's a heartless bastard and doesn't care that the journalists were released this morning. Hi, John.
See, now you just framed the argument the way I wouldn't have framed it.
Another,
we want her dead, right? That's what your alternative is. We would have wanted these women dead.
But no.
They couldn't have been where they were. No.
I didn't say you want them dead.
Wait a minute. I'm amazed at the magnanimity of, what's her name, Lisa Ling, coming out and saying how she was granted amnesty from Kim Jong-il. Well, isn't that wonderful? Now, she's a journalist. So does that mean that now the North Koreans aren't eating wood for their sustenance? Does it mean they're no longer trafficking in the prostitution that she was apparently reporting?
I don't think she said any of that, but I think she's probably happy to be back with her family this morning. You're not happy she's back with her family?
Oh, see, Steph. That's
doesn't sound like it, John.
Yes, I'm happy she's safe. See, you're going to frame it like I want them dead.
I didn't say that. You just keep accusing me of saying that you wanted them dead. I never said that.
No, I mean, you know, we want them harmed. No, they shouldn't have been there in the first place. What happened was that I know that Bill Clinton's chartered flights are not a regular scheduled stop in North Korea. I know that. So what happened before the scenes? What kind of deals will we have? Did Kim Jong say, hey, Bill, I want you to come in and get pictures with me?
That's the worst Kim Jong-il impression ever. And a not really good point either. Okay, 57 minutes after the hour. Stand Up News is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Representative Elliot Engel, Democrat of the great state of New York, one of the true fighters for health care reform, will update us in about a half an hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Go to the calendar section and find out how to get tickets to see Mama in Seattle this Saturday, along with Tom Hartman, Bill Press, Mike Malloy, and Ron Reagan for the big town hall that we have every year in Seattle. It'll be a lot of fun.
It's actually in Kent, Washington.
All right. Yes. If you're a stickler.
The Puget Sound area.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. As we all know, the just a couple of hours ago, the journalists were released from North Korea. They came to Burbank Airport on the party plane with the big dog.
Right down the street here.
Doggy! And pretty much everyone with a soul is happy, so that excludes many Republicans like Dana Perino.
How did they get there in the first place? I think this is a question that hasn't been asked enough. Right. What were they doing? Whose idea was it to send these young women into North Korea? Mm-hmm. I think we need some answers on that.
That's a great question.
And, you know, maybe Al Gore, I don't want to say Al Gore is responsible if he made the order, but ultimately he's responsible, and I think we need to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah. All right, my bad. I sent them there. I forced them to go to Korea. I just wanted some kimchi. I wanted to bring back some authentic North Korean kimchi, and, well, it didn't work out. Yeah, I'm sure that's what happened.
Oh, boy. You know, a happy ending, pretty much all accounts and many levels.
Even Howard Kurtz said that he got a little misty watching it.
Yes, how couldn't you if one had a heart of some sort? No, all right. The cash for clunkers, the wildly popular stimulus, working, Robert Gibbs.
People are making decisions to buy cars for the first time in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Computer says no.
Which is why the Republicans are against that, along with releasing American journalists from hellholes overseas.
Yes. Whatever it is, I'm against it.
All right. Glenn Beck on the authentic grassroots protests that are going on at the town halls.
Authentic?
If you see these people, they're being labeled extremist, right-wing zealots.
Sure.
That's what they always do. AstroTurf.
Right.
It's not
right.
Yes.
Do you hear what they're saying? They're saying, read the bill. They're not saying, absolutely no on everything you want. They're saying, read the bill.
There is no bill.
Slow down.
There's no
Arlen Specter says, we have to make these decisions quickly. For what purpose?
No, they don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
No. We can drag it out as long as possible till all those people die.
There's no bill yet. There's no bill to read.
No bill to
no
read.
Bill yet. Okay.
There are chunks of bills coming out of committee, but there's no bill.
All right, you run along with your birther friends now. Okay, you know, just when you thought the birther thing was dead, what with that horrific Kenyan, the phony birth certificate?
That was actually from Australia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chuck Norris has jumped into the
what?
Fray.
Yeah.
He is...
With his action jeans.
With his action jeans.
I'm not sure he can do kicks like that anymore. What is he, like 70?
He's backing Lou Dobbs in the birther battle. He's taking his own karate chops in the birther battle. Lone Wolf McQuaid.
Who?
I'm not really sure why he's qualified to comment on national issues. Isn't he a guy that kicked people in the head for a living, essentially?
Yeah,
okay.
He did.
He is politely but firmly chastising the president for what he perceives is his unwise political and leadership decision of not letting his original birth certificate see the light of day. He writes, I agree with CNN's Lou Dobbs, who was chastised by his own media outlet for demanding the release of your original birth certificate.
Look, if you've been paying attention, which you clearly haven't, you know that the original birth certificate was shredded along with a lot of other documents when they turned it all digital.
Yes.
Some years ago.
Hawaii has confirmed 75,000 times that this is the original birth certificate.
That's the real birth certificate. Yes. He was born in Hawaii.
Chuck Norris goes on to say, what's crazy is not the birthers. What's really crazy about all this, all the president of the United States has to do is produce a birth certificate.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's a crazy.
That's all he's got to do. Yeah,
that's right.
Go away.
That's him. That's what's crazy. This is the...
That Obama Kenyan birth certificate is actually a retouched Australian birth certificate.
Austria.
Well, then. Today, mate, let's put another shrimp on the barbie.
She said, do you come from a land down under?
The kid says, no.
Russian emigre dentist turned correspondent school lawyer Orly Tink.
Have a look at this little beauty.
The format and fonts on the Australian document are exactly the same as the bogus Kenyan birth certificate bearing Obama's name.
It comes from a land down under.
What's really crazy about this is all the President of the United States has to do is produce a birth certificate.
Maybe the dingo ate your
birth certificate.
What? The dingo ate your
birth certificate?
Yeah, it sounds exactly like what Chuck Norris was saying.
Huh. It took about 48 hours, by the way, to expose the Kenyan birth certificate as a forgery. It is the birth certificate for one David Jeffrey Bumford, born in South Australia,
and I cooled him,
who is highly amused by this whole story. He said, that's so funny. It's definitely a copy of my certificate. It's so laughable. It's ridiculous. Unless, of course, David, you live in a country where that's your opposition party.
Yes.
Those people that actually on the Senate and House floor are putting forth resolutions.
Yeah, but the Australian guy is in on it, clearly. Uh-huh. He's part of the plot to make it look like Obama was.
The important part of this whole story is that Keith Olbermann listens to
Stephanie Miller.
Clearly. Mm-hmm. He wants to date me. He wants to kiss me. We called her Orly Taint yesterday on the show. It was several times, is all I'm saying.
Hal Sparks modified it to Oily Taint.
Yes.
Which is kind of gross.
And funny. All right, let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we? Here we go.
Yippee, yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks, Harrod stays broken. Our top story, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said his party's caucus has absolute unity on the need to pass health care reform this year. That's after the president's head knocking yesterday. Come over here. Come here, caucus. I said public plan. You hear me?
I don't think that's how it went.
I think it is. Reid said Democrats want to produce a bipartisan pill if there's any way humanly possible.
Computer says no.
Senate Finance Chairman Max Baucus said the American people want us to work together.
Computer says no.
No, they don't. No, they want the Democratic plan.
Yeah.
Check the polls. Reid and Baucus expressed confidence that health care legislation would get done by year's end. Harry Reid.
It is with sorrow and disappointment that I announce today that our efforts to come to a bipartisan accord with Senate Republicans have come to naught. We Democrats stand united in our determination to pass comprehensive health reform this session and get America on the right track. Hey, who wrote this? Since when have Democrats been united on anything? And what's all this about not working with the Republicans? Does that mean I don't get to lube it up for Mitch and John and Tom and Jim? I don't think I know how to speak to a Republican while standing up straight. Oh, dear, this is going to be a complete shock to my system. Will I get to apologize for something? No? Can I at least express my disappointment that I'm a Democrat? Or that someone else is a Democrat? Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Not even one little cave-in? Can I have one little teensy-weensy capitulation on some core Democratic value? No? What are you trying to do, kill me? I can't service the ghost of Reagan just a little. I can't take it, I tell you. Oh, what to do, what to do? Oh, I've got it. I can give in to the Blue Dogs. That'll fulfill my surrender obligation. What? They're on board? They're not fighting everything the Democratic Party used to stand for, and they don't need appeasing? Oh, no. What am I going to do? Newt, George, Dick, please hold me. I feel so helpless and afraid and cold. So cold. My Brooks Brothers-shaped exoskeleton I fashioned a substitute for a spine can no longer protect me. Oh, dear. Oh, dear, 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 dear.
There goes our chance.
I was just going to say, I noticed that we haven't booked Senator Reid in recent months. Yeah,
there goes our chance of ever getting Senator Reid on the program. Ever. Ever. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was Piglet. That was Piglet.
It was Piglet.
Okay.
I believe he will join Senator Barbara Mikulski and senators that decline to return to the
John
Stephanie
Fiedler.
Miller Show.
Computer says no.
Great. Jim Cummings now, I think.
And an old friend of mine is his communications director.
Oh, boy.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, thanks,
All
Jim.
All right.
I never should have vetted that.
Yeah.
And finally, conservatives for patients' rights. The operation that's running a national campaign against a public health care option is now publicly taking credit for helping gym up some of the rowdy outbursts targeting House Democrats at town hall meetings around the country, raising questions about their spontaneity.
Really?
They seem so grassrootsy.
Yeah.
A campaign is being handled by the same PR mavens behind the Swift Boat liars.
Yeah.
Sorry. Their spokesperson confirmed that CPR is handing out town hall alert flyers, schedules of town hall meetings to its mailing list. These efforts, combined with CPR's efforts to enlist teabaggers, provide a glimpse into the ways that the anti-reform groups are trying to create a sense of, a false sense of public momentum in their favor.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And CPR is working with CRC Public Relations, who did the Swift vote ads.
Uh-huh. A House Democratic leadership aide said the more you dig, the more you learn this is a carefully orchestrated effort by special interest lobbyists and the Republican Party who are using fringe elements on the right to protect insurance companies and defeat health care reform. The anger at these events looks very similar to what we saw at McCain-Palin rallies in the fall. We have, I believe, an ad from the group.
In the 1960s, John Kerry cravenly volunteered to serve his country in Vietnam. His treasonous, cowardly performance earned him 3 Purple Hearts, a Silver Star, and a Bronze Star, largely for his lily-livered chasing down of a Viet Cong soldier armed with a rocket launcher, and subsequently killing him and then rescuing a Green Beret who had fallen overboard, all while under enemy fire. What a wuss. Now, the same commie French gay demo rats are at it again, pushing some pinko scheme they call health care, when in reality all they really want to do is throw your grandma into the wood chipper. Real Americans don't need health care. Conservatives for Patients' Rights wants you to know that the way to stay healthy is to camp in a forest by a river, breaking sticks with your leg, and drinking plenty of soft drinks made with high fructose corn syrup, which is as American as type 2 diabetes. Not by killing grandma and forcing everyone to have late-term gay abortions.
Oh, no.
Tell Barry Hussein Osama to keep his hands off our soft drinks and tea bags and go back to Kenya or Australia or wherever it is he claims to have come from. Paid for by insurance companies united against sick people. Why don't you just die already?
Oh, for God's sake, just die.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends.
Jim Ward's Apocryphal Truth. Yep. Skylight. StephanieMiller.com.
Uh-huh.
Buy the apple.
Uh-huh. Hey, Chris, you know how you're a right-wing tool and you sometimes fall for right-wing tool talking points? Like the Republican we played earlier that said even with reconciliation, that wouldn't really work. It's only really for budget matters. This just in, the breaking news. Reconciliation myth, not limited to budget matters. Check it out at Media Matters. The Republicans have been perpetrating the myth, which is false, that reconciliation is limited to budget matters, which Chris Lavoie, as is his job here on the Stephanie Miller Newscast, his job is to fall for right-wing claptrap and parrot it on the air.
Make him watch Fox News.
Yeah, Stephanie.
At least you hit the right buttons at the right time. Oops. Do you see what I wrote while you were doing your bit, Jim? I wrote that to Chris because he hit the wrong button. I just wrote, you suck.
No, you wrote, suck you.
No.
And so I pointed at you and said, you suck, because you wrote it that way.
No, I wrote you first and then suck.
Yeah, but you wrote suck above you.
Are you dyslexic?
Yeah, what is wrong with you? You can't even get an insult right.
I don't even know why I felt time.
Yeah.
I felt I should take time during the broadcast to heckle you by note. All right. At least you hit I Hear a Symphony at the right time last hour. Oh, no, you didn't.
Well, if you had legible handwriting, I could discern the note.
One of the senators at President Obama's birthday lunch said that it's like listening to a symphony. Listening to the president talk.
And by the way, this isn't Diana Ross. It's just the Supremes.
Oh, my bad. You still suck. 20 minutes after the hour, suck you. As I incorrectly penned.
Yeah.
Jim's over there doing his brilliant comedy,
yeah.
And I'm too busy insulting you to pay attention.
Thanks.
20 minutes. Suck you. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Huh. That was kind of cool. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Joe in Durham, North Carolina, on healthcare. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, Steph?
Good.
Listen, I love the idea of a public option, but the one thing that scares the heck out of me is that we seem to have a bad habit of underestimating the cost of, just about everything, from cash to Conkers to Social Security to Medicare and Medicaid. And I'm just worried.
We didn't underestimate. Look, the cash for Conkers, you know, that it worked exactly as it was supposed to. It was supposed to be an experiment to see how it worked. And it worked, obviously, great, so that's why they're voting to continue it.
Oh, no, and I think that's wonderful. I mean, believe me, I think the program has worked very well. I hope they put in some more funds to keep it going. But, again, my concern is that this is a big, big project.
Mm-hmm.
And I really worry about the timing of it all. And, you know, again,
well,
the
you know, the other, well, here's the great. One. Here's the one thing, Joe. I think that, you know, a lot of it, you know, it is hard. None of us have a crystal ball. But I do think that, you know, if in general, obviously, we improve health care in this country dramatically, I think there's going to be a lot of cost savings in there that you can't really count right now, right?
Well, I hope you're right about that, but again, what concerns me, that's wonderful. Now, what concerns me, though, is that it is going to be terribly expensive, and I it's the right thing to do. Don't get me wrong. I just worry about is now the right time, given the deficit we've already run up.
Well, look, you know, here's the thing. I feel like we can't afford not to do this. This is a big cost of what's dragging the economy down. And, I wonder if President Bush had been honest, Jim, and said, you know, this is going to be probably like a $3 trillion war. And by the way, it's unnecessary and probably illegal. How is everybody for that? Good. Okay. Are you with me? The nation's leading health insurance lobby on Tuesday lashed back at its critics, without the tiny violin, saying that a campaign to demonize health plans is a major step back for efforts to reform health care.
Oh, my God. Huh?
They vowed to, quote, set the record straight about our community's contribution to the reform effort.
Unbelievable.
And your contribution is encouraging people to die and get off of your insurance plan if they have some sort of, what's the word? Sickness. If they have some sickness of some sort.
Oh, for God's sake, just die.
It's called health insurance, not sickness insurance. Duh.
Don't you get it?
We want to insure healthy people.
We had a great union guy on yesterday, the president of Ask.
Yes. He was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, they're putting out ads, too, but at least they're telling the truth. These ads, like, that are by the insurance companies, pay attention, that they're from the insurance companies. Of course they're going to fearmonger about having some competition. But a group called Americans United for Change, partly funded by labor unions, has put out an ad. The chief executive of a big insurance company is saying he makes $5,883 an hour, more in one day than the average worker makes all year long.
Huh.
Well, the difference is that's true.
Yeah.
So if you think that kind of profit is okay, while your health care costs what it does, then go ahead. 28 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Elliot Engel of New York as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Had always been full of energy and life, but lately I had begun to grow more aware of her aging. The bright, exuberant eyes that I had fallen in love with were now beginning to grow dull and listless with the long fatigue of a weary life.
It is Stephanie Miller's show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Load the liar cannon. Dear God, our job is shooting down right-wing lies. You know the right-wing caller, Jim, that called earlier about, I don't want to have to spend my tax dollar to pay for health insurance for illegal immigrants.
You are a bald-faced liar.
The question is, were you lying then? Are you lying now? Or are you not, in fact, a chronic and habitual liar?
Okay. So, first of all, there is no page 232 which says illegal immigrants will be covered. That's apparently I've been somebody from one of the teabaggers has freaked me or whatever. There is a debate over procedures by which the federal government can check to see whether someone is a citizen or not, but the bill does not have provisions to prevent the subsidizing of insurance for non-citizens. Jim, I think you made the point. Anybody that goes to an emergency room gets treated free, you know. I mean, and then obviously the cost gets trickle down, obviously, to taxpayers. That's why it's bad, yeah, you know, to use it as a primary source.
Well, and also people who have actual emergencies can't get seen because people are using emergency rooms as their primary source of health care.
Right. But anyway, they're talking about health insurance that you can buy. We're not offering free health insurance to anybody. So that's, again, another right-wing talking point. If only, though, there was somebody that could help me in this battle, for God's sake, someone in the trenches, why?
From the great state of New York, it's Representative Elliot Engel.
One of our personal favorite warriors.
Yes.
Good morning, fellow healthcare warrior.
Good morning. My goodness. I can be on your show anytime, and with that kind of greeting, I want to come on every day.
We rolled out the red carpet and the fake butter commercial music.
Well, let me tell you, it's nice.
Well, Congressman, I don't know if you've had to deal with any of this stuff going on at town halls, but, you know, thank God it's being exposed for what it is, that these are just these, you know, right-wing activist groups that are sending people in, busing people in to shout you down and not to have a meaningful conversation about health care.
You know what it reminds me of, Stephanie? It really reminds me of Nazi Germany before the Nazis took over. That's what they did, you know. They came in, they shattered everybody down, they intimidated everybody. It's really scary.
Well, it
really is.
Interesting you say that. Actually, at the, you know, the YouTube one, Lloyd Doggett's, Congressman Doggett's town hall meeting, there's a sign, you can see Nazi lettering on one of the signs.
I know. It's just really scary. And you know when one side is devoid of ideas, all they do is shout down the other side because they can't have a discourse because their ideas are so inferior.
Right. Well, and, you know, the thing is, Congressman, I mean, poll after poll, another one out today showing the public supports the president's plan when you explain what it is. They support a public plan.
Well, that's absolutely true. And, you know, I'm for a single-payer plan, but
we
can't have that. We don't have the votes for that. So this is the next best thing, and it's certainly not socialized medicine, as they try to tell people it is to scare them. It's certainly not the public getting involved, the government taking over health care. It's the government providing an option to keep the insurance companies honest. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. I am encouraged after the president's meeting yesterday with Senate Democrats. Are you? I mean, it seems like, you know, Chuck Schumer and others are saying we are going to get this done one way or another by the end of the year. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm encouraged by the president getting involved. I think that makes the difference. I think that he is still popular. He's so articulate. People believe in him and trust in him. And I believe that his continuing to bring this to the fore and repeat it day after day and go around the country, I think that's really going to make the difference during August. I think that will help keep us afloat in August.
And Congressman, you know why I think he's doing that? Because I said so.
No, I
kid.
I want to tell you, if you said so, the country would be a lot better if people listened to you.
Yes.
I wanted
to get that on tape.
I suffered through the last 8 years, so I can say that.
I know. No, I mean, it is interesting. I mean, I've been saying this, that yes, absolutely, the president needs to use his popularity, because I think that what happened when you saw some of the erosion in the poll numbers, I think, is people just got confused with all these competing committees and proposals. And, you know, but I do also think, as I've said, that I think the president has played this very smart politically, that he's saying, look, we are giving the Republicans plenty of time to come along, to try to help us, to work with us. And if they don't, at some point, you know, we have to go forward with health care reform.
You know, I was on television this weekend. I debated some of my Republican colleagues on CNN and also Fox, because I go on Fox. I'm not afraid to go on and say what I need to say. I like to do that. And, you know, to hear some of my colleagues, you know, you'd think they were Democrats the way they talk. You know, the Republican Party wants this and all we want is that. And if I knew nothing and I heard what they said, I'd say, gee, that sounds pretty good. The truth is they want nothing. They're the party of no, and nothing is more blatant than in healthcare, that they're the party of no. They're devoid of ideas. They would like to keep things the way it is, you know, let the rich, let the wealthy people have insurance, to hell with the 47 million Americans that don't have it. And that's their attitude. And I always say that this little capsulized place in time healthcare is unsustainable because it's rising. The costs are rising so much, far beyond inflation rates. And therefore, if we just sat tight and did nothing, 47 million would be 50, 60, 70, and 80.
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention people who are losing their jobs and losing their health insurance and pre-existing conditions and all the other things. So you know what I find, Stephanie, in my district, there is such confusion. People have heard so many different things, and they don't know who to believe.
Yep.
And so people... Seniors who are on Medicare and Medicaid are afraid they're going to lose their Medicare and their Medicaid. Others say to me, is healthcare dead? Because that's what people think. That's what they're hearing. So I think it's important for us to get the word out. In fact, in about 15 minutes, the Democratic members of Congress are going to have a conference call with Speaker Pelosi, and we're going to talk about some of these town hall meetings and these, intimidations and,
mm-hmm.
and things that they're doing, so we can counter that.
Right. Well, because that's the problem, Congressman. When you don't have, you know, the issues on your side, that's all you have is shouting and fear mongering. I mean, speaking of Fox News, I mean, we've been playing clips all week of them, literally people saying, you know, the Democratic plan will kill your parents. I mean, it just
boggles the mind. It just really, but they ought to be ashamed of themselves. They really should be.
And then here's the Fox liberal. This is Mara Liasson trying to scare the blue dogs into voting against this.
The biggest piece of this health care reform plan that is in the biggest jeopardy is the public option. There is not a single liberal Democrat in Congress today who will lose their job, their seat, if there's not a public option in the final package. But there are many moderate Democrats who might lose their seats if there is a public option in the final package. So that, I think, is where the politics of this are.
I disagree, don't you, Congressman? I read a piece yesterday that said that if health care reform fails, the blue dogs, the conservative Democrats, will be the first ones swept out, just like they were after Clinton failed to get health care and it has happened previously.
Well, I was in Congress in 94, and I remember what happened, and there wasn't the discrimination against Democrats. All the Democrats were swept out, and it started with the blue dogs because they all represent conservative areas, and when the Democratic Party falls, they are the first to go.
Right.
And you know, it's not a matter of politics, frankly. It's a matter of doing what's best for the American people. I mean, I'm on the Energy and Commerce Committee, so I was one of those that was bitterly disappointed that we didn't have the robust public option kept into the plan, because to me it's a no-brainer. If you have a robust public part tied to Medicare, that keeps the rates down. It forces the insurance companies to compete, and so they have to keep their rates down. If you don't have a robust public plan and the public option is costs a lot of money, well, the insurance companies are really happy because they'll just jack up their rates, and that's what's happening here. We need to keep the insurance companies honest. While people are losing their health care, there are record profits for insurance companies. Now,
yep.
I don't care if they have record profits, but I don't want to see more people lose their health care.
Yep, and absolutely. I mean, you know, please tell your conservative Democratic colleagues that if they help the Republicans in their expressed, you know, purpose, which is to defeat the president politically, they're going to pay politically too, you know?
Well, there's no doubt about it. And I have to tell you, again, as a member of the Energy and Commerce Committee, I was utterly frustrated with seven members really holding everybody hostage. I think it's just ridiculous. And, you know, they talk about blue dogs and, you know, you talk about dogs. When it comes to a dog, the tail shouldn't wag the dog. And that's what's happening. And it's wrong.
Yep, absolutely. You know? Thank God we have you fighting the good fight for us. Let me know if you need security at your town hall.
I might call you.
I'm wiry, but I'm scrappy.
Well, who dare would go against you?
That's right. Representative Elliot Engel of the great state of New York, thanks so much, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, there he goes. He's one of the good guys, you know.
Yep, I like him. Care. Well, he's for single payer, but, you know he knows that we don't have the votes for that, so.
All right. Cash for Clunkers, a wildly successful program. And so, Republicans.
Computer says no.
We'll tell you what's with the fight to continue Cash for Clunkers next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
That was strangely arousing.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. An American girl. Ha! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Paul in Orange County on healthcare. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Yeah, John Campbell, he's my representative in Orange County, California.
Mm-hmm.
He's co-sponsoring the birther bill.
Well, and, you must be so proud.
Yeah, and I've asked, called his office several times to see when he's going to have any town halls so he can answer my questions about health care. And they says that he's not going to. He says that he's not going to debate health care, and that Orange County, the people of Orange County, do not have a right to health care.
Ah, I see. Well, you must be so happy there behind the orange curtain. Okay, you won't be part one of those genuine revolts at the town hall meeting, according to Charles Krauthammer.
Look, there is a genuine revolt against the idea of remaking a system when over 80% of Americans have health insurance.
Uh-huh.
5 of 6 of those are happy with their health care,
mm-hmm.
and 4 of 5 are happy with their health insurance. You have an administration arrogantly deciding it's going to tear it all up, start all over, and people are surprised that there are protests and say that it had to be manufactured. Of course it's spontaneous.
Of course it is.
Go together on a bus. That's entirely legitimate and ought to be encouraged.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah. What a liar.
Wow.
Yes,
exactly. Where do you even start with that whole mess? Holy cow.
You're a lying sack of crap.
You're a liar. You're a liar. You slimy scumbag liar! Liar! You damn liar!
Yet another poll out today showing the majority of Americans are for the president's health care plan.
Speaking of Orange County, you know which prominent Orange County congressperson is a Blue Dog Democrat?
I know. I know, Loretta Sanchez,
yes,
our friend.
She's a member of the Blue Dog Coalition.
I'll get to her.
Okay.
I will work her over.
I just didn't know if you knew that.
I knew.
You were just avoiding it, huh?
All right.
What?
I'm guessing she won't be calling anymore.
Well.
No, we love Loretta Sanchez.
We do.
We probably would have disagreement on the health care. I would be on the Linda Sanchez side of the table at a Sanchez family dinner.
Yes, you would.
All right.
and you would have stuffing thrown at you.
She was an Obama girl, and Loretta was a Hillary. We got in little spats during the primary, and now we're all fine. Now we're all fine.
But you know what? That's the political reality. Orange County is a very conservative area.
Mm-hmm.
So
Let me give you the fun facts about the, what did he call it, Jim? A genuine revolt, a grassroots sort of.
It's genuine revolt.
Phenomenon.
Genuine.
A Tea Party-friendly group has disseminated a strategy memo. See, if it had only been found out and written down, you see, it would be easier to portray this as some sort of
organic grassroots actual,
thing of the people.
Yeah.
It's a strategy memo for other anti-reform and anti-government groups outlining what they consider best practices for protesters who plan to disrupt town halls. The operative word there, disrupt, not engage in any sort of meaningful conversation with the lawmaker. The memo, authored by Bob McGuffey.
Well, he's good.
He runs the website rightprinciples.com, suggests Tea Partiers should pack the hall, spread out, make their numbers seem more significant, rock the boat early in the rep's presentation, yell out, challenge his statements early, rattle him, get him off his prepared script, stand up and shout and sit back down. McGuffey, a volunteer for Freedom Works, the industry-funded group that helps organize and support the teabaggers. Unfortunately, the bad news for Republicans is they're growing bullish about their chances. There's a bit of sobering news. According to a new Gallup poll, there are only 6 states in the country with more Republicans than Democrats. There are 6 red states left, if you've seen the map.
Yep.
Utah, Wyoming, Idaho, Alaska, Alabama, and Mississippi. Oh, dear. If only they had, what's that thing? Oh, ideas of some sort, instead of being the party of no. Like cash for clunkers. Which is, I don't know how you could say it's not wildly successful. It's working exactly as they had hoped.
Absolutely.
This is a part of the stimulus that is, what's the thing I'm thinking, Jim? It's stimulating the economy.
As it's supposed to do.
Facing a White House deadline, Senate Democrats are struggling to win over reluctant Republicans to pass a $2 billion extension. By the way, the money's already in the stimulus. This isn't new money.
Right.
Of a popular program that gives consumers up to $4,500 to trade in their old gas guzzlers for more fuel-efficient vehicles. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, though, said the Senate will vote to replenish cash for clunkers before leaving on a month-long vacation later this week. Car companies say the clunkers program is helping their bottom line. Ford said its sales rose 2.4, almost 2.5% in July from the same month last year. Chrysler posted a smaller year-over-year sales drop. Other automakers showed gains, giving ammunition to supporters of the car rebate program. Which is why Jim DeMint said, I've talked to many dealers who say it's the most inept and poorly run program they've ever dealt with.
Name one.
He's making up the dealers that he's talking to.
Dealer out of his ass.
They checked with, by the way, with I think half a dozen car dealers in his South Carolina, and they're all for it.
Yeah.
I think they all pretty much vouched for the effectiveness of Cash for Clunkers. His own constituents in the auto industry. He cited it as an example of the stupidity coming out of Washington right now. And apparently his constituents cited him as an example of the stupidity coming out of Washington right now. Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary.
The statistics denote that the big three automakers have been represented well in this program because they're building cars that Americans want to buy.
Senator Debbie Stabenow, Democrat of the great state of Michigan, whom we know.
She's awesome.
Well, I would love to add a Buy American provision. I'd love to add a Buy Michigan provision. But the reality is that we would be violating trade laws, we would be challenged, and possibly the program couldn't go forward.
Anyway, she talked about actual dealers that she actually talked to, unlike the imaginary friends that Jim DeMint talks to.
It looks very strong because we're hearing from dealers and consumers all across the country that this is a stimulus that is working.
Yep. All right. Let's go to Heather in Wisconsin on the release of the journalist this morning by North Korea. Hello, Heather.
Yes.
Hi. Go ahead.
Oh, I've been listening to you way too long.
Uh-huh.
When I saw the wonderful pictures of those two journalists, those sweet young things getting on the plane and hugging President Clinton, all I could think of is Hillary's going to be meeting that plane with a frying pan.
She'll be right there when the party plan lands.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, girls. How you doing? Yes, and once again, Hillary did all the work, and Bill Clinton got all the credit. Then the big dog gets all the pictures on the news. Okay, let's go to Andre in San Antonio on healthcare. Hey, Andre.
Hello.
Hello, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was just calling because I had heard about, let me see, if I could just read a piece from the from KERA, the National Public Radio affiliate in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
Basically, it says, at the Thomas Center in Dallas parking, Parkland Hospital, Senator Hutchinson was joined by local hospital executives in denouncing President Obama's healthcare reform plan before Congress. Texas leads the nation in the number of uninsured. When asked how she would solve the problem, Senator Hutchinson blamed illegal immigrants. We have the highest number of uninsured mostly because of the illegal immigration population. Well, they talked to somebody named Ann Ward from the Texas Hospital Association. She said that it's less than 20% of the uninsured are illegal immigrants. And the one thing we know, many of the people who come to the hospitals for care, they pay cash. So when people say that illegal immigrants are the majority in Texas that are getting uninsured, I think that people should look at the statistics and see what it really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Senator Hutchinson is, once again, unhelpful, in my opinion. Although she is the senior senior.
Kay Bailey Hutchinson, the senior senator from Texas.
Jeff in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on healthcare. Hello, Jeff.
Yes. Earlier callers talking about, we got to be careful about doing too much too soon. It's so big, such a big part of the economy. You know, that's totally wrong. The most damaging thing you could do on the health care issue and the way you could get the most debts and deficit would be doing nothing and keeping the same system. And the Congressional Budget Office, which ranked H.R. 3200, the current congressional bill with the public option, it would only cost $24 billion a year over the next 10 years, and that's if you didn't reform Medicare payments, in which case it could be a net zero or surplus. So the big problem, the big danger is not doing anything or actually intervening too little, because all the plans without a public option cost way even more, cost even huger deficits.
That's right. Jeff, you are the smartest boy in class today. And you know the main reason that we should have health care reform? Because Helen Thomas wants it, and she just turned 89 yesterday. She shared a birthday with the president and cupcakes, and the president said she wants health care reform. I don't know if that's true, but
okay.
All right. Comedian Will Durst on the big show tomorrow. I'd like to thank Chris LeBoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Baker. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.